In this episode, I talk with my friend Steve Rakin about how you can make your first $100 online on Amazon this weekend.
Hello and welcome to the Private Labeler Show, where we are dedicated to helping you take your Amazon business to the next level. Now, here is your host, Nick Landowski.
Welcome, people of the internet. Yes, welcome everybody. Welcome to episode number 30 of the Private Labeler Show, where we're helping 1,000 amazing people such as yourself start an online business in 2016. Very, very grateful and excited that you are here to listen to me. And just got back from Miami, Florida, everybody. Just got back from the Seller Summit. Some of you knew I was down there. Got to meet a few of the listeners down there, which was awesome. Had an amazing time, and I definitely plan on sharing a lot of what I learned in the next maybe handful of podcast episodes. So kind of just slowly drip some of the information out there to you guys, because I think it'll be very beneficial. So just got back in from Miami. I'm a little sunburned, a little burnt, kind of wandered around South Beach and seen all the shenanigans around there. If you haven't been to Miami, it is an absolutely electric and beautiful city. So highly recommend Miami. It's the second time I've been there, and I'm already looking forward to going back sometime in the near future. So very good time that I had there. And again, I'll share anything that I picked up from the Seller Summit in the very near future with you guys, because I want to provide you guys with some great value. Now, in this episode, I'm going to play an interview in just a second here, but I'm going to play an interview I did with my friend Steve Rakin of the Rakin Profits YouTube channel. And we're going to talk about reselling on Amazon and making your first $100 on Amazon this week or this weekend, depending upon when you're listening to this. Now, your first dollar online, your first $100 online, is this going to be a very inspiring and awesome experience for you if you haven't done that yet? But we want to give you the confidence and some of the knowledge and know-how and tools to make that happen. And that way, you can take some of that confidence and knowledge and money that you're going to make from this episode and start to put that towards your private label business, whether that be the first batch of inventory or just some of the other fees kind of associated with it. So I really, really think you're going to enjoy this interview that I did with Steve, as it's just loaded with tons of practical stuff that you can implement as early as this week or this weekend to start making some money on Amazon. Now, before we get into that though, I want to just quickly read an iTunes review. So as you, I'm sure, know by now, we are on iTunes, so please make sure you subscribe to the show on there, leave a comment or a review. And I have a quick review to read from a listener, and this review is from Jane from Maine. So all right, Jane from Maine, a couple days ago left a really awesome review that I want to read here. It says, "Just got back from a run and I listened to 3 podcasts. The time flew by. Such great information. I've been doing this for about 6 months and I've listened to so many podcasts. Yours is by far the best. You have a way of delivering information in such clear and concise way. I learned something with every show. Please keep up the great work. Love it." So, wow, that's very flattering and awesome. That's an amazing review and comment. So thank you, Jane from Maine. I hope you're running and listening is going well. So not sure what the weather is like in Maine, but I imagine it's starting to kind of get a little warmer out. And very, very happy that you're out running and listening to me talk about Amazon. So thank you. So for everybody else though listening, if you haven't left a review on the iTunes page, make sure you go to either iTunes directly in the search field. Just simply type in Private Label Show or Private Labeler Show. You should see the show pop up there then. Or if you want to go direct to it, you can open up your browser or your tab and just simply type in privatelabelershow.com/iTunes. So if you could just subscribe and leave a review, I would love you for that. You'd be an amazing person by doing that. So thank you to everybody that has left a review so far. All right, so enough messing around here. Let's just jump right into the interview that I did with Steve Rakin of the Rakin Profits YouTube channel. Make sure you check out his YouTube channel and subscribe to the show. And I really think you guys are going to enjoy this episode. So make sure you also look at the blog post associated with this or the show notes, because Steve's going to give a couple of resources out there that you're going to absolutely want to make sure that you check out. So make sure you go to privatelabelershow.com while you're listening to this and check out the resources. So without further ado, let's jump right into it. Hey, everybody. I would like you to welcome Mr. Steve Rakin of the Rakin Profits YouTube channel to the Private Labeler Show podcast. So welcome to the podcast, Steve.
Hey, thanks so much, man. I want to thank you for having me on the podcast, and I want to congratulate you for taking massive action with your podcast and helping so many people. And I've been hearing a lot of great things, and I've been listening myself. So thanks for having me on, and you're doing a great job, man.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. For all the people out there that may or may not know who you are, would you mind just giving us the kind of just the 101 bio of who is Steve Rakin? Sure. So maybe if you want to tell us a little bit about your online endeavors over the past few years. I know you're doing a lot of big things. You got a really awesome YouTube channel. So, you know, if you wouldn't mind maybe just kind of speaking about that, and just so that the audience can kind of get to know you a little bit better.
Yeah, sure. So my name's Steve Rakin. I'm 28 years old from Connecticut. I do have a YouTube channel at Rakin Profit, R-A-I-K-E-N, Profit, like you're making some money. Quit my job about 3 years ago. I was working a lot of crummy jobs, pizzerias, Namco, gas stations, Toys R Us, the Cracker Barrel. I was working a lot of crappy jobs, not making much money, working all hours of the day, living at home with my parents, and I just couldn't do it anymore. I was sick and tired of working for somebody else, not making much money, and the money that I was making, you know, there was a ceiling to it. There was a cap, just like, you know, a traditional job, you know, at a restaurant or whatnot. So I started looking for a way to make money outside of my normal job, and stumbled on to some videos on YouTube learning about making money off of Craigslist. To make a long story short, I jumped right into it, and I ended up selling about $10,000 worth of used bicycles, road bikes, mountain bikes, all different types of bikes that first summer, buying from Craigslist and selling on Craigslist, and had a lot of success, was doing so well that I ended up quitting my job at the Cracker Barrel at the time, and ended up jumping into eBay, selling clothing. One thing led to another, started selling on Amazon, reselling stuff, and it's been about 3 years now since I've been working for myself. During that time frame, I started up a YouTube channel, jumped into Kindle Publishing, eBay, Amazon, Craigslist. I've created my own products, my own services, so I've done a whole bunch of things during that time frame. But been working for myself for 3 years, and I've made it work, and you know, I'm here to talk about all that stuff and how people who are watching or listening to your podcast now can do the same, because there are just so many ways to make money online right now, but especially with Amazon.
Yeah, that's a big reason why I wanted to have you on here. You have a lot of experience, obviously, and you got a really awesome YouTube channel. So it's actually one of my favorite channels. I thoroughly enjoy it. And I think it was earlier this year, you did a really cool thing where you traveled, I think it was almost around the entire country, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. It was like for a couple of months, mm-hmm. where you were traveling around and you were documenting the heck out of everything as yep. far as your journey, just going into places, whether it be, I don't know, a Walmart or whatever, and just doing some picking, looking for some deals and things like that. And you did a great job documenting it. So what was the kind of the reasoning behind doing all that?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I sell on Amazon FBA, and for the listeners out there who aren't sure what FBA stands for, it's Fulfillment by Amazon. And really what that means is, as a reseller, for someone who's buying products and selling them on Amazon, Amazon's created this thing called FBA, Fulfillment by Amazon, which means when I go to a thrift store or a garage sale or a retail store or a pawn shop or a flea market, even though I don't really go there much, wherever I go, if I find an item to resell, instead of typically doing what you would do on like eBay, where you have to take the pictures and you have to store it in your inventory, and when it sells, you have to pick it, pack it, ship it, deal with customer service, Amazon FBA is a service that Amazon's created where when you purchase your products, you ship them all off to the warehouses. And there's a few powerful things that you can do with that system. First thing is you can leverage having more inventory because you don't have to pick it, pack it, ship it, deal with customer service, but also it allows you to be able to travel because, you know, if you were doing eBay, if you purchased 20 things, you'd have to hold on to it all, and then you'd have to ship it out. And, you know, it's a big ordeal having a bunch of inventory. But with Amazon FBA, you ship it all out to them, and they deal with everything for you. So I was doing Amazon FBA. I was having a lot of success here in Connecticut. And I said, you know what? I want to go adventure. I want to go down to Florida. I want to go to Austin, Texas. I want to go to California, El Paso. I want to meet all these amazing people that I've connected with over the last 3 years on YouTube who have pretty much helped me and taught me and guided me down this road of entrepreneurship with eBay, Amazon, and Craigslist. And I said, you want to know what? This is the perfect opportunity right now with Amazon FBA. So that's what I did. I went on a 90-day road trip, and I know a lot of the listeners right now are thinking to yourselves, oh my gosh, that sounds amazing. Yes, it was amazing, and anybody could do it. It was an experience of a lifetime. And I went to all these different cities and states and towns, and I purchased stuff from thrift stores, garage sales, pawn shops, retail stores, and I shipped it off to the warehouses. And I funded my whole entire trip. And you know, I didn't get rich off of it, but I was staying at hotels every single night. And by the time I got home, I had about an extra $5,000 or $6,000 in my bank account. So didn't get rich over those 90 days, but funded the whole trip and was able to add some money to my bank account as well, which was really cool.
Yeah. So for all the listeners out there, I would highly recommend that you check out Steve's YouTube channel and just kind of dial it back maybe a little bit and see, you can actually see the whole journey. And I was watching I was almost like on a daily basis. You were putting out so many videos. And as I was kind of doing things around the house, I just thought, wow, that's got to be an awesome experience. You know, just I didn't know how long you're going to be doing it. I was like, wow, is he ever going to go home? Or so I'd imagine you've seen a lot. You know, what is really cool, too, is you mentioned meeting up with people. So you have a really kind of unique and awesome relationship with your audience. And I remember from watching some of the videos, you would do like some meetups in if you're headed to a city or whatever and kind of get handful of people together that were following you or watching you on the journey just to kind of hang out or maybe, you know, go picking together, right?
Yeah, we did a bunch of meetups. You know, I'm lucky enough to have an amazing audience and tribe that's following me on YouTube, which I've built up over the years. And it's a lot of fun. And yeah, I mean, wherever I go, if I'm in a new city, I mean, when I was in Austin, Texas, we had a meetup. We had one in Miami. We had one in Phoenix, Arizona, San Jose, California. So it's really cool, man. I'd highly recommend it to you as well. If you ever travel, I know you said you were at a seminar recently and got to meet some of your listeners. It's a lot of fun. It's awesome connecting through a podcast or a YouTube channel, but meeting these people in real life it's phenomenal.
Yeah, I agree. That's really cool. So I just wanted to throw that out there just to, you know, tell the listeners out there that they want to kind of, you know, get involved in that experience or see what that's like, you know, to check out your channel and, you know, look at some of those videos, because it was really cool just for me to see that too, that you have that relationship. So, you know, let's transition here, Steve. So we have some listeners out there that I know will kind of either email me or send me messages through Facebook or in the Facebook group. And they say, hey, you know, they really want to get involved in selling on Amazon. Maybe it's private labeling, because that's primarily what this podcast is about. But capital kind of becomes an issue. Money kind of becomes an issue at times, you know, especially if you, you know, first time in and maybe you need to buy some inventory, maybe 500 units or 1,000 units. I mean, that might cost you a couple $1,000s depending upon your product or whatever. And it kind of becomes like that first roadblock for that person that wants to start selling on Amazon. And eventually they might get a little frustrated with not having the funds to buy the inventory. So one of the ways that I kind of just, you know, kind of throw out there is I say, hey, you know, there's other ways of making money on Amazon that they can start to build up their capital for that first batch of inventory. And that's through reselling. So you know, like we're going to talk about here in just a minute, but I kind of wanted to take the journey from A to Z, just not going in any great detail, but for that individual out there that wants to maybe make their first $100 on Amazon this week or this weekend. So that way, A, it gives them the confidence to start selling online. Once you make that first dollar, it kind of changes everything, as you know. And B, just to start to develop or build the funds up, so that maybe they can use all that money that they're going to make through reselling to start eventually purchasing some private label product inventory. So that's kind of the journey that I want to take people on today. So can you just kind of give people a very quick rundown or overview of the process of reselling on Amazon FBA? So obviously they
You know, they're going to need a Seller Central account.
Do
they need a specific Seller Central account, or just any Seller Central account will do?
Yeah, pretty much. From my understanding, it's been a while since I first signed up. It's been about 3 years. But from my understanding, you know, you're just going to go to the Amazon seller account on Amazon. Just do a quick Google search. You know, you're going to put in your tax ID information, your credit card information, and sign up, and you'll pretty much be good to go. I mean, once you get the Amazon seller account up and running, I'd recommend to get the Amazon seller app. So it's an app that you can get whether you're on an iPhone or an Android. So go to the Play Store or the iPhone Store. I have an Android, so I don't even know what it's called. And get the Amazon Seller app. And what that app's going to allow you to do is be able to scan barcodes and do research when you're on the go. And that's really, really important when you're on the go as a reseller. The key, one of the biggest keys, is you only want to invest in products that you know are selling, making money, and you want to make sure the margins are there. You don't want to fall into the trap of just buying everything. So the Amazon seller app is going to really be able to help you out a lot. And we could jump into the details a little later on if you'd like, in terms of what to look for and whatnot. But that's definitely going to be the next step. And this is a little farther out, but when you get to the point that you're selling maybe 40 items a month or more, you're going to want to look into upgrading your account to the pro version. But if you're brand new, you're looking to make your first $100, really just get your Amazon seller account set up, you know, put in your credit card information, create your username, login, all that stuff, your tax ID. So if you're an individual, you're just going to put your name, social security number, all that. If you are going to do it under an LLC or some type of legal entity, you're just going to need your EIN number, and you'll be ready to go.
Yeah. Okay, great. Yeah. So you mentioned there is a difference between like a basic kind of almost like a free edition account and then the pro account. So yep. If they're going to do any sort of volume, you're going to want to have the pro account, but if they're just getting started, it's not really necessary right off the bat. So it'll be a good thing down the road if you have to upgrade to the pro account, because that means that you actually are selling and having some success with it. So, but once they get that account up and running, I mean, the process kind of just quickly dabbling through it is they're going to go and find maybe some deals on products at, let's say, like a Walmart in a clearance section or something like that. And they're going to obviously, or it could be a garage sale or thrift store or whatever. They're going to look for certain things. And then what are they going to do? Are they going to buy these items? Is that how that works?
Pretty much. I mean, if you're brand spanking new and you're looking to make your first $100, I'd like to say, and this is just my opinion, Nick, I would say stay away from the retail stores. So I would say stay away from the Walmarts, the Targets, all that stuff. Even though you can get stuff cheap, a lot of those items, kind of like certain private label products as well, just tend to have a lot of competition. So I would honestly, when you're first getting started, guys and gals listening, I'd stay away from the retail arbitrage. That's what we call it, flipping items from retail stores to Amazon. That's retail arbitrage. I'd stay away from that. I'd stay away from pawn shops. I'd stay away from flea markets. I would focus on trying to get products as cheap as possible that have the most the minimal amount of risk. So over here in Connecticut, we have garage sales every Saturday and Sunday morning. So I would focus on going to garage sales because you can get stuff dirt cheap. Also, thrift stores are great. Some of the best thrift stores you can go to are Savers. They're not going to be all over the country, but it's a really big thrift store. Savers, Goodwill, Salvation Army. And pretty much what you're going to do is you're going to go to these locations, and if an item has a barcode, like for example, a book, you can take your Amazon seller app, you can open it up, and you can actually pull out the barcode function of the app, and you could scan a barcode. And when you scan the barcode, this is really amazing, it gives you all of this information about the product. It tells you how much it's selling for used, how much it's selling for new, how much it's selling for as an FBA offer, because there's two types of offers. There's a merchant offer, and then there's an FBA offer. You don't need to understand that now if you're new, but just know that there's a difference between selling it yourself versus sending it into FBA. And one thing I want everybody to understand right now is if you're going to get into Amazon, you don't have to fully understand this, but you're going to want to research more about this, is you want to go FBA. You don't want to sell as a merchant. FBA has so many advantages in terms of selling items faster and making more money. So just know that. But when you scan an item, whether it's a book or a board game or whatever it is that you find, you're going to get information on this app, the Amazon Seller app. It's going to tell you what it's selling for, price. It's going to tell you how many people are competing. It's going to give you a sales rank, which I'm sure you've talked about this before, Nick, but sales rank is pretty much a snapshot in time that kind of tells a story about how fast it's selling and whatnot, and how long you can expect to wait to sell the item. But pretty much you're going to go to these locations. You're either going to scan barcodes or look it up manually if it doesn't have a barcode. And you're going to buy items that are undervalued, and you're going to sell them on Amazon.
Okay, excellent. So, you know, what's funny is I live in Wisconsin, and it just recently started to get warm out. And it seems like no matter where I go, I am seeing dozens of garage sales going on right now. So depending upon the part of country you live in, you know, if you live anywhere like where I live, or in the north, or in the north or the east or whatever, where it's kind of starting to get warm, for the listeners out there, you probably just have to just peel your eyes just a little bit, like you said, on the weekends, like Steve said, and you'll see just tons of garage sales. If not, you can look them up, or they're everywhere right now.
I've got a great resource for your listeners right now. You can download an app called Yard Sale Treasure Map. Yard Sale Treasure Map. Look into the app store. Go get that. And it'll actually, if you turn your location on inside your cell phone, it'll actually track where you are, and it'll show all the garage sales in your area. So this app will actually pull from Craigslist API and different tag sale websites API, and it'll put it all in one location. And you could actually create a route within that application. And it's just super efficient. And I mean, there's so much money. I'm not just saying this. There is so much money when it comes to garage sales. If you guys go to my YouTube channel at Rake and Profit, I just did a ride-along video a couple days ago over the weekend with my buddy Tim, and we literally shot a vlog, a behind-the-scenes video of going to all these garage sales, sharing what we found. I mean, I went up to a garage sale last weekend, Nick, and the first thing I popped on was a Specialized mountain bike. Do you know that brand?
I seen the video. So yeah, I seen
you
that.
Saw the video.
Yeah.
$20 for a Specialized. If anyone listening knows about Specialized, that's like, I wouldn't say it's like the Ferrari, but it's like the Mercedes-Benz of bicycles. Like it's a brand that, like, you're not going to get a Specialized bike for less than $400 or $500 or $600 in the store. And I walked up to this garage sale and I saw the bike, and I said to my buddy Tim, I said, oh man, I don't want to buy any bikes today, cause we have like no room. And I'm like, anytime I don't have room in the car, I always find bikes, because we didn't have a bike rack. And I'm like, oh, Tim, this is going to be bad. And I'm just like making a joke, because I already know. And I'm expecting the guy to say like, yeah, $100, $200 for the Specialized bike. And he's like, eh, you can have it for $20. And I'm like, oh God, here we go again. But that thing will resell on Craigslist for a couple $100. And that's one thing that you guys listening should know as well. You don't have to sell it on Amazon. Craigslist is great for bigger items. But to make a long story short, I probably made at least $500 to $800 profit just on a Saturday morning. Again, you know, that's from experience. Like the commercials say, the results aren't typical, right? But you can get lucky out there, and you know, you could easily make your first $100 at a garage sale.
So, okay, to the listeners out there, so just think garage sales right now. Now, once they go to these garage sales, what are kind of some of the hot items or the typical items that do well? You mentioned books, which I know you talk a lot about, but maybe what are
board games?
Board games are huge. What else is out there that's huge that the listeners can start looking for?
Board games are huge. Anything that's new in the package will typically do well. So any type of electronic item, PC items, look for the major brands out there, like Sony. Cameras do very, very well on Amazon. I mean, just look up items. There's so many various items out there. It's ridiculous. Toys, brand new in the box. I'm looking at my counter right now, and I have a Monopoly board game that I popped on at a garage sale actually a month ago. I'm just getting it out. But paid $10 and the thing's going for $80. But there's so many things out there. Video games are huge. One of the fastest selling items on Amazon are video games. And garage sales, wow, there's no shortage of video games. So some of the best video games.
Does it matter?
N64, Super Nintendo, older games. I mean, just look them up. Just scan the barcode, look them up. If it's something old like N64 or Super Nintendo and it's a Mario game, you can get it for less than $5. Just buy it because those things go for like 40 or 50 bucks a pop.
Okay, cool. So essentially you have, you know, your smartphone out there, and obviously you're trained a little bit better than the average person in doing this, but so you kind of know what to look for. But for that newbie out there, if they're looking for a board game or a book or a textbook or something like that, essentially just take out their smartphone and scan it, right?
Yep.
And then essentially it's going to give them some
yep.
data. So if they see it selling at this garage sale for $5, but they know that on Amazon it's selling for 50, then that might be an opportunity they might want to explore, right?
Absolutely. You definitely want to take your time and pull out your Amazon seller app and scan it. But one thing I want to say is you need to make sure that you're looking at the right information on the Amazon seller app. Again, I'm an FBA seller. So there's going to, when I scan something, there's going to be a few different prices that show up on this app. It's going to show merchants, which are normal people who are just fulfilling the items themselves. And then there's going to be FBA sellers like me who send all the stuff into Amazon. And it really is an awesome buying experience for like prime Amazon shoppers. Anyone who's a prime shopper is typically going to buy from an FBA seller like myself. So if you're selling FBA, you just want to make sure when you're looking on the app to look at the FBA price. So
yeah, and the prime people obviously want the fast shipping, so that kind of goes hand in hand with it, right? So it's an added benefit if you sell through FBA, obviously. Now what if so let's say we find a deal. We don't have to get too much into a conversation on this,
sure.
With garage sales and stuff like that, there's always negotiations, right? So just because it says $10 doesn't mean you pay $10, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah, you're 100% right about that. I typically always negotiate on an item at a garage sale, unless it's like just a ridiculous item. And like I make the mistake sometimes, Nick, of feeling bad because it's like for example, I was at a garage sale during the video that you saw, and I came across this board game, and the board game was from I think 1982. It was called Dark Towers by Milton Bradley, and I mean, this is a really rare, hard to come across item, and this is a great example for everyone listening who's brand new, because I didn't know about this item. I didn't know about this item at all. I had no clue if it was worth anything, and I saw it and it just looked interesting. It looked a little odd. It looked a little older. And I said to myself, that's an interesting item. I want to look more into that. So for anyone listening right now, if you see something that catches your eye and you're not 100% sure why, but it does, take a second to either scan the barcode or look it up manually. And that's what I did. I didn't know what it was. It just looked weird and interesting. And I looked it up on Amazon. I scanned the app, and it was coming in at $400 used.
Wow.
On Amazon. Yeah, $400 used on Amazon, and it appears to be 100% complete. I still need to do some more research, but they were asking $5, and it comes back to what you were saying about negotiating. I mean, I could have said $3, and he probably would have taken it, but I'm like, oh, I just can't ethically do that. It's like, he's asking $5, I'll take it, but I'm not going to negotiate $3. But typically, if it's an item that's selling for, you know, 30, 40, 50 bucks, I'm always going to negotiate all day long. Some tips for negotiating real quick is to bundle items. So if you're not sure what I mean by that, for example, if you see 3 or 4 items you like at a garage sale, don't go up to the guy or the gal and say, oh, will you take 6 for this? And then walk to another part of the sale and find something else and say, will you take $3 for this? Find everything, accumulate it all, and then make a bundle offer. Make an offer on everything at once, and that's probably one of the easiest ways to get a discount on prices. And I mean, you could get a big discount. Also, another thing is, don't name your price first. So don't say, would you take this for that? Would you take that price for that? Say, what's the best offer you would take for all of this cash right now? And I've found that that's the best way to get really good deals.
Wow, those are some terrific quick little bullet point negotiating tips there. So if my mind's already flowing here, because I know where there's a couple of garage sales just outside where I live where I could just walk there right now.
Uh-oh.
Probably. So I'm already thinking here. So hopefully some of the listeners out there, you're thinking as well. So that's really, really cool tips you shared there. That's awesome. And then, you know what, real quick here, you talk a lot about like college textbooks and stuff like that, right? Being just like crazy amount of value to those, because we all know college books are super expensive. Like when you buy them from the bookstores at like the university bookstore, dinosaurs or whatever. But is that something that you kind of really go after anytime you see a college textbook?
Oh yeah. Yeah. You know, I actually bought a new scanner. It's called a scan fob. It's expensive. It was about $300, but it allows me to scan books about 5 times faster than anybody with a phone. So for the new folks, you don't have to worry about this, but once you get a little more advanced, a couple months down the road, you might want to look into it. But I love books, especially textbooks, and especially since I got this scanner, cause it's just so quick. But textbooks could bring in really, really good money. Few things to look for with textbooks is you want to make sure they're a little more current, because the problem is, and it's actually really sad, but a lot of these professors, and I don't know how exactly it works with all the politics, but they create a textbook for, say, 2016, and within 6 months the book's outdated. Sometimes, not all the time. But books, they come and go really quick. So typically I'm looking for a book that's been created within the last couple of years. Those seem to do the best. And you can usually just tell by the graphics and the artwork and just how it looks. But don't discriminate, right? Don't discriminate on the age. I've picked up textbooks that were 10 years old that sold for $30-$40. But textbooks are great to share a little story. And this doesn't happen all the time, guys, but for some reason, I don't know, I've caught the bug. I've been scoring big time over the last 2 or 3 weeks. I was at a garage sale about, I think it was 3 weeks ago. And I actually made a video on this, and I walked up to this garage sale, and there was a nice woman sitting down. I said, "Hey, how you doing?" She's like, "Oh, doing well, selling a bunch of stuff." And I said, "Oh, look, you have a whole bunch of books." And she goes, "Yeah, nobody wants them." And I said, "Well, I'll see if I can help you out." And there was about, "I'll see if I can take those off your hands and make a killing." No, I'm just kidding. So anyways, I see all these books sitting there, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm seeing like all these like really high end, like they just look new. I don't know how to describe it with words, but they looked very current. They were very specific. Like there were, she majored, I ended up talking to her after, but she majored in some type of like psychology and okay. Like behavior and all that stuff. But they looked very, very interesting and new. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I hope these things are current. I scanned one book, $60. I scanned another book, $40. I scanned another book, $90. There must have been over $1,000 worth of books here. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And we started chit-chatting and whatnot. And I'm like, well, if I take all 15 of these books, what will you do? And she's like, well, would you take a quarter each?
What?
And I'm like, holy mackerel. Yeah, a quarter each. She just graduated with their master's degree, and she just wanted to get rid of all the books, and nobody purchased them. I showed up at 2 in the afternoon, Nick. Wow. Usually the spot at garage sales for like the diehard garage sale folks, and this is a good tip for the listeners, try to get to the garage sales when they open. Like 8 to 10 in the morning is like the sweet spot. That's like where you're going to find typically the best deals. But unfortunately, well, fortunately for us, but most resellers are still stuck on old eBay times and Craigslist. They don't know about these, the scanning the books and the Amazon FBA. I show up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and there's $1,000 worth of books sitting there, quarter each. I went out the door for like $9. I think I gave her a few bucks extra just because I actually feel bad sometimes. I'm like, I'm not going to be a bad businessman and like tell her, but I'm like, this is crazy. Yeah. Literally, I sent books in within 3 or 4 days, and I had $600 in my pocket.
Yeah, well, wow, that's awesome.
My Amazon account. And I mean, it's just one example. It's not going to happen all the time, but you put yourself in a position to get lucky, and you're going to get lucky once in a while.
Wow, that's really cool. Yeah, I suppose so. You hit up enough places, and you'll find a gem every now and again. So, like, just think about the average listener out there that's thinking, like, what could you do if you found that score right there, and you knew what to look for, and you could add an extra $500 or $600 to your, you know, to your bank account. And obviously, what could that do for you? That's huge for most people. So that's super awesome. So yes, I hear you talk a lot about college textbooks. So that's just the thing that sticks out in my mind, that if I do actually wander out to a garage sale over the next few days, that's what I'm looking for too. So for all the listeners out there, college textbooks could be
Can I stop you for 1 second?
Sure.
One thing I want to say is, like, because I really want to give advice to like the person who's brand new and don't know how to, like they're not sure where to start. Probably the best way to start, now that I'm thinking about it, is books. Any thrift store, not all garage sales, but any thrift store across America, 99% of them are going to have a huge just a huge shelf of books. And all you got to do is go in there and just start scanning books. Try to stick to the nonfiction books, the ones that are specific, like child behavior or textbooks or like woodworking, like something specific, niche. If it looks weird, if you look at a book and you're like, this is really weird, like who would want this? That's the one you want to scan. You want to scan that book.
Okay.
But books are probably one of the best ways for your listeners to get started.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool. So let's just say now this listener, whoever it is, buys a handful of books or whatever, and they get a great deal and they're kind of excited, right? What do they do then? So let's say they get the books home. What's the next step then in all this? What do they do?
Buy a 12-pack and party. No, I'm just kidding. Well, what you're going to want to do is you're going to have to learn the FBA process. It's going to take too long to explain here, but if you go onto my YouTube channel or you just go onto YouTube and you type in Amazon FBA shipment, there's a whole process for shipping in something to Amazon. Obviously, you've done it with – well, I don't know. Have you done it with your private label? Have you had your items shipped to you and then you ship them off?
Yeah, I've done it all which ways, okay. So yes.
Okay, cool. So as you know, there's a process to shipping – into Amazon FBA. But the cool thing about books are there's not really much prep work. And what do I mean by that? Well, some items you have to bubble wrap them. You have to, you know, put them in a bubble mailer or protect them somehow or do whatever it is you do. All different items are going to come with different prep and polybagging and all that stuff. But the cool thing about books is all you really have to do is just print out the label, which is called an FN SKU. And that's Amazon's proprietary system for being able to identify which book it is, how much you price it for. So in a nutshell, you're gonna go into the back end of Amazon. You're gonna list your item. So you're gonna choose the price, the condition, all that stuff. You're gonna print out your label, slap it on the book, put all the books in a box, and ship it off to Amazon. And once you get through that, it turns somewhat passive. It's very interesting. Amazon FBA and private label is. It's a mix of active and passive income. And what do I mean by that? Well, you know, you're actively working to source the books. You're actively working to send them into Amazon. But you're earning income passively after you get that shipment off to the warehouse because, you know, once it sells, Amazon's going to pick it from their storage center. They're going to pack it up. They're going to ship it. And if there's any returns or issues that the customer deals with, they're going to handle it all. So, my main goal is to get as much inventory as possible and ship it off to the warehouses and move on with my life.
Gotcha. Now you said get it listed. Is that just finding an existing listing for something and essentially putting your product listing on an existing listing? Okay. So they're not actually starting from scratch with a brand new fresh listing in most cases, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend that, especially if you're new. I'd say 100% don't try to create any of your own listings. And I know Amazon, there's a few little changes going on lately with the UPC barcodes. I'm not 100% sure. You've probably heard about that, Nick.
Mm-hmm.
But I would just piggyback on a listing. So, you know, with books, 99.9% of the books, when you scan it, there's going to be a listing already created. So essentially what you're doing is you're just piggybacking on the listing and you're pricing your item comparatively to the competition based on the rank, the condition of the book, and just your business model as a whole. If you're more of the fast nickel or you're the slow dime type of business model, it's up to you. That's the beautiful thing about running a business, whether it's, you know, a physical reselling business with FBA or private label. We get to all choose our business model. But yeah, essentially that's what you're doing right there.
Okay, excellent. So they get it up there, put it on a listing, and if it, you know, obviously depending upon the item and the price, it's going to sell. Amazon takes care of the rest. They'll ship it out, and then obviously once that transaction takes place, Amazon's going to take their FBA commissions and cut, and then you're going to get the difference, obviously, and it's going to go on your account, and then they pay out, you know, appropriately. I think it's every 2 weeks or depending upon how old your Amazon accounts are, but that's awesome. So now, other than that, other than kind of keeping up that process, I mean, what other tips do you have for reselling that you've learned over maybe the past couple of years? We covered a lot here, but do you have any other little bits of advice that maybe we didn't cover?
Well, one of the big things is that I just want to mention is consistency is key, right? It's like a garden. Imagine you and your mother, or you and your girlfriend or boyfriend, you start a garden up in your backyard, and maybe you want to grow some tomatoes, or you want to grow some cucumbers or potatoes or whatever it is. You know, you get that garden started, right? You plant your seed, but there's things that you're going to have to do to be able to enjoy that yield at the end of the year, to, you know, be able to, you know, pick those tomatoes and put them in a salad or lettuce or whatever it is, right? There's going to be things you're going to have to do. You're going to have to water it. You might have to prune some of the leaves or put some pesticides or take care of some issues. It's the same thing with a reselling business, whether it's a private label or Amazon FBA or eBay or Craigslist. You're going to have to be consistent. You're going to have to consistently take care of the business. And for an Amazon FBA business, that's the big thing, is going to be consistently going out and sourcing. So if you stop sourcing products, if you stop sending in products to Amazon, your sales are going to slowly dwindle. Kind of like with the garden example, if you stop taking care of it, if you stop watering it, it's going to slowly die. So what you focus on, what you put effort into, is going to grow, it's going to build, and you're going to be able to enjoy those long-lasting profits. So the big thing is consistently go out to these places, learn about different products and different categories. One big thing that I want to put out there for the listeners is, when you look up a product on the Amazon seller app, whether it's a book, you know, say you scan a book, it might have 100,000 rank in books, right? Or let's just say it has a 10,000 rank for this example. Let's say you scan a book and it's a 10,000 rank in the Amazon store under the books category. That's phenomenal. That rank right there is probably an indicator that that book is selling maybe 10, 15 times a day, maybe less, maybe more. No one really knows, but that's an amazing rank right there in the books category. Point I'm trying to make is, each type of item is going to be listed typically under a different category, right? So a CD is going to be in the music category. A video game is going to be in the video game category. A 10,000 rank book in books is amazing, but a 10,000 rank in video games isn't that good. You know, a 200,000 rank in music isn't really that good, but in books, it's still pretty good. So the one thing I'd advise is to be able to distinguish what's a good rank versus a poor rank, and that's just going to take experience. I do have a cheat sheet that I'll see if I can get it for you guys, get it for you after the show, and maybe you could link it up for your viewers. It's a sheet that we actually created in the Green Room, which is a membership site that I run. It's a cheat sheet that'll tell you all the categories and the ranks that you want to focus on, which is absolutely huge, because if you're buying the wrong ranks, you're going to be waiting forever to sell these items. So I'll definitely hook up your listeners with that cool little chart as well.
That'd be great, because obviously you've been doing this long enough. You kind of know off the top of your head for the categories and the numbers on what's going to sell
exactly
fast. And it's just like an experience thing. But for somebody that's new, obviously they don't necessarily know any better at this point. So yeah, we'll definitely link that up in the show notes. And that way they can kind of get access to that. And I don't bring the cheat sheet out to the garage sale with them. Who knows? So.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. Or just bring it up on your phone. That's the beautiful thing. You download these things and you just bring them up on your phone, and it's just a reference, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Real quick here, you mentioned, I think with the last couple of times that we talked, that you were kind of exploring actually getting into private labeling. Is that still something that you're entertaining, or how's that working out?
Yeah, it was something that I was entertaining, and I've kind of hit a roadblock, and, I'm not sure which direction to go into. So pretty much I started my private label venture. I went into a bunch of courses and learned a ton, and was taking massive amounts of action, was in the Facebook groups. I listened to your podcast, a bunch of other ones, learned a ton. I actually selected my product. I had purchased Jungle Scout and everything. So I found my product. I didn't purchase it. I found the product that I wanted to invest in, and I connected with the suppliers, and I found the product. I got the samples. I got about 3 or 4 of them. I was all good, ready to roll. And I don't know what happened, Nick, but over about a 3 to 4 week period, like, a ton of sellers came in and literally destroyed my item. My item, I was going to get it out the door for about $4, and it was going to sell for around $20. And within a couple of weeks, and I know what my problem was, but within a couple of weeks, it had gotten knocked down to like $7-$8. And there's just so many sellers competing now. And it's like, now it's like, I can't really go into that. And I think the biggest problem was I invested in a small generic product and went straight through Alibaba. And I feel like somehow it got out there. I don't know what happened. So right now I'm kind of like at a standstill.
Okay, gotcha. It's all a learning experience the same way. So sometimes you make those moves in the private labeling world and they don't always work out, but you can learn a ton from it kind of going forward, like what not to do or what to tweak next time around. So, but yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there to the listeners that, you obviously make a lot through, the reselling or retail arbitrage on Amazon. You do well with that, but you can also explore private labeling as well. So there's really no limit to making money on Amazon. I mean, there's even, like I talk about Merch by Amazon, you talked about Kindle. So for that average person listening out there that hasn't made a dollar yet, there's a lot of avenues that one can take to and utilize Amazon's traffic source, because it's just a huge traffic source, obviously, to start making money, online. So whether that be your first $100 maybe this week or this weekend by going to a garage sale, there's lots of different ways to kind of make it happen. And it's just a matter of just finding something that resonates with you or that, something that you're comfortable with and just kind of giving it a go and just making it happen. So, with that being said there, Steve, we talked about your YouTube channel. They could just go to YouTube and type in Raking Profits, or do you have a Facebook group or anything else that people can kind of link up with you, or maybe just tell some of the listeners where they can all find you?
Yeah, the best place is probably my YouTube at Rake and Profit. I believe I have over 700 or 800 free videos talking about Amazon FBA, eBay, Craigslist. I've got a ton of playlists that'll bring you behind the scenes with my 30-day road trip. I had a 90-day road trip. I share a lot. I'm a big believer in giving. I don't hold anything back. A lot of people think I'm crazy because they say, Steve, you shouldn't give that much out. You shouldn't add that much value. And I'm like, you know what? If it wasn't for the folks out there like you and a lot of others who are putting out this free content, I'd be nothing, man. I'd be at Cracker Barrel at a pizzeria delivering pizzas and broke as a joke, living with mommy and daddy, and probably would be miserable. So I give out a lot because I really am grateful and just really enjoy interacting. So yeah, check me out on YouTube at Rake and Profit. Also Periscope, I'm pretty big on as well. Behind the scenes, Snapchat, all that good stuff. But yeah, man, I'm out there, and if anyone has any questions, reach out, and I'd be glad to help you. If I can't answer your question, I'll refer you to someone who can help you.
Okay, awesome, awesome. So for all the listeners out there, make sure you subscribe to Steve's YouTube channel. I know you do post a lot of videos to there, so it's a very active channel. And if you're a Periscoper or on social media, make sure you link up with Steve as well. I know you're very active with all that stuff, so it's not just like a dormant account. Like you're very, very active with it, so that's very cool.
I think
So,
I posted about 37 videos last month.
oh my gosh, that's bananas. That's bananas,
Out there a
man.
little bit.
Awesome. Any other last words here? Because we're kind of running short on time. But any other little last words of wisdom for the audience out there?
Yeah, just take action, guys. Don't be scared to make a mistake or to fail. It's gonna happen. The big thing is when you're first getting started, realize you're gonna make mistakes. It's normal. So try to minimize your risk by purchasing items that aren't very expensive. Go to garage sales, thrift stores, and try to buy items for a quarter, like I said, with books, or $1 or $2. And be a little cautious at first, and take your time and be willing to learn. But if you're consistent and you're willing to improve 1% a day, over a month or two, that's going to add up to a lot, and you're going to be amazed. There's thousands of people out there making money online. There's over 2 million FBA sellers on Amazon. It's not like, the 80s, or probably not the 80s, but the early 2000s, where making money online was like skeptical, and it's like everyone's a scam artist. Like, people are making money online. There's thousands, there's millions of them. It's not something that is just like, is it true or is it not? It's true. It's documented. People are doing it. You can do it. Just take action, and you'll make it happen. I know you will.
Very awesome stuff, Steve. Steve, I am very grateful and honored that you spent a few minutes of your busy day with us here at the
Anytime.
Private Labeler Show podcast. I know I mentioned to some of the listeners that you're going to be on, and they're really excited about that. So I can't wait to get this out to them, as you dropped a lot of knowledge in a very short period of time. And we'll make sure that we'll link up to any of the resources or tools that you mentioned there in the show notes. So if you're listening, make sure you go to theprivatelabelershow.com and also check out the show notes, because we'll link up some of those things there. Like the app that you mentioned, or just a few of the other sites or whatever. So that way you guys can have that on your journey. But I challenge the listeners out there listening to this right now that if you haven't made that first dollar on Amazon yet, find a garage sale sometime this week or this weekend and just after you listen to this episode, just kind of put a game plan together and go out there with the intention that you're going to make your first dollar on Amazon, or preferably $100, or just, you know, maybe shoot for something like that, something realistic, not over the top, and just go make it happen. And once you hit that first sale or two on Amazon, if you're reselling, that's just going to open up a whole new world for you, I promise you. So just make sure you, like Steve said, put this into action and go make it happen, everybody. So Steve, thanks again, man. I super appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on, Nick. I appreciate it.
All right, we'll talk soon. Bye. Hey, I was wondering if you could do me a quick favor. If you listen to this podcast episode on iTunes, Stitcher, or even YouTube, could you please leave me a quick review or a quick upvote? It would be greatly appreciated and go a long way to helping me reach my goal of helping 1,000 people start an online business in 2016. Thank you, and talk soon.